Mark Collier, Four Thomas Matters Radio. Sponsor today, Omega Processing Solutions. Headquartered in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. Always a sponsor on Four Thomas Matters. You can see their logo on our header page at FortThomasMatters.com. Big, bold, yellow and blue. Omega Processing Solutions can help you and your business achieve its profit and productivity goals in 2016. How? Well, they've developed an innovative merchant processing program that helps your business boost the bottom line, streamline operations, and get paid faster. They do the things that are really difficult to do that you don't want to do, and they do it really, really well. And with always, as always, Omega Processing Solutions, they have a 24/7 customer service hotline. It's in here. It's all in-house. There's no contract, no early termination fee. You can call them at 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724, extension 7, or hit them up, omegap.com. Here we go. So today on the show, we've got Sarah Cameron. She is volunteering for the Campbell County Caucus this year. The caucus this year is March 5th. It's going to take place, at the Wilder City Building, now going to be in Campbell County High School. So we're going to talk to her about what a caucus is, how it's different than a primary, and kind of how it all came about, and then her role as the chairperson. I'm actually going to be a caucus volunteer. She has sent me some materials that were actually really well done, a YouTube video, a 15-minute YouTube video that I had to watch as a Campbell County caucus volunteer. So we're going to talk to Sarah about what to expect. This is a one-time thing, really. This came about because it was the only way that Senator Rand Paul, as a sitting Kentucky senator, could also run for the President of the United States. So there were some, some caveats to be able to do that. Number one, and I think this was led by Mitch McConnell, but he said that he would only support the caucus proposal if Rand Paul agreed to pay for the caucus from his Senate campaign account, which that was a condition that Rand Paul did agree to. And then he also McConnell stipulated that his support would only be contingent on the caucus being a one-time event. So that's where I say that this might be a one and only type thing. But as politics sometimes go, what is said is not always what will be done. So we're going to talk to Sarah about all things Campbell County and Kentucky caucus, again, which will be March 5th. That is in, not counting this Saturday, it will be the Saturday after. And for Democrats, the caucus really means nothing because the Democratic primary in Kentucky will basically just take place as it always have. This year, the primary election is scheduled for May 17th. The registration deadline for Democratic primary in Kentucky is April the 18th. So this podcast will just kind of deal with the Republican caucus and everything that deals with that. So in the studio right now, we have Sarah Cameron. Sarah has no title for the her duties that she has with
I do, Mark, have a title.
Okay, what's the title?
I am a caucus official. Okay. And through that title, I'm a volunteer. There's going to be about 30 to 40 caucus officials.
So I am a volunteer as well for this.
You are a caucus official, actually.
I'm a caucus official.
You have a title.
So what I want to do, obviously, like, we generally primary in Kentucky. We don't caucus.
Right.
We're caucusing this year. So tell me, what's it going to look like, feel like, you know, sound like? What's it going to be like when you go into, where is it, first of all?
It's going to be at Campbell County High School. in Alexandria.
March 5th. It's March a Saturday. 5th,
it's a Saturday. The hours are going to be 10 to 4.
So tell me what it's going to be like. I walk in as a caucus voter and what happens?
Okay, this is the million-dollar question. This is the question that we're getting all the time. So it's not going to be a lot different from when you go to your general precinct location to vote on any other election day. You're going to walk in and you're going to be able to go to, if you want to just go straight to voting, you can do that. You're going to go, you'll see the voting area. You'll sign your name like you would any other time.
So bring your ID.
Oh yes. Very important to bring your ID. The same method of identification as you would any other time. License, credit card, social security card. I think generally people bring their driver's license. And then you'll sign in the voting booth. You'll be given a ballot. You'll have an opportunity to fill that ballot out, and then you'll put it in the box. And it could be as simple as that. But if you're going and you want to get more informed about the candidates, there's going to be booths, hopefully for each candidate, and you can go and talk to someone and a representative of one of the candidates and learn more about their stances, have a discussion. I mean, you can kind of visit it like you would a science fair,
Yeah. You
know, everyone's station, and just learn about where the candidates stand. And then after that process, you can go and vote. So
have you gone like to, you know, Campbell County High School and seen the location, and you're going to have, you know, those informational booths maybe in the foyer or like right when you walk in?
So I'm not in charge of the caucus. This is going to be the Campbell County party is in charge. Jeff Kidwell's the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly how he's going to be arranging it. But all I can tell you is that there's going to be an area where you can educate yourself. The candidates are going to have an opportunity to have their pamphlets. I'm just assuming here that if I was a candidate, what would I have? I'd have my pamphlets there. My representatives are probably going to be wearing my name.
But that's got to be separate from where.
And that's a separate area, but not like so separate.
I think it's like 25 feet they have to keep.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be like in a separate room.
Right.
So, I imagine it'll either be in the foyer or in the gymnasium, but it's going to be up to our caucus chair, who's Jeff Kidwell.
So tell us how like this whole process came about. I talked about it briefly on the intro that this was really kind of contrived because per our Kentucky Constitution, we couldn't have a sitting senator also run for president.
Yeah, your name cannot be on the ballot twice, basically. And so I think Senator Rand Paul obviously is still running for U.S. Senate in the state, and he didn't want to give up that seat, but he did want to see if he, you know, would be the nominee for president. And the Kentucky Republican Party wanted to assist him in that. And so they knew that the way to get around that was to take the presidential election off the primary that's happening on May 17th and have it earlier, which, you know, March 5th in the caucus format. So that's how they got around that. I think it's a great opportunity that we're having. Aside from that,
I mean, like, and he talked about that too, is, you know, now Kentucky's relevant.
Yeah.
Whenever we got to the time that May 17th came around, everybody else had already caucused and the decision really was made for us.
Right.
So he's still going to be on the ballot.
Yes, he's still going to be on the ballot. All the candidates that filed to run are still going to be on the ballot. But as I'm sure most of the listeners know, he has withdrawn from the race.
He's dropped out. Who else has dropped out?
Basically, everyone but five candidates. I think we could rattle off a lot of names of who's dropped out. Most recently, Jeb Bush and Carly Fiorina is no longer in the race.
So who's left?
Let's talk about who's left.
Yeah, let's talk about who.
Okay, so who's left in, let's see, Ben Carson, he's still in the race, and it seems like he has no intention of dropping out anytime soon, even though he's not in the top three. We've got Donald Trump, obviously, the front runner, John Kasich, governor from across the river. Marco Rubio from Florida and Ted Cruz from Texas. So we've still got, you know, the top three, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, and Ted Cruz they're running a pretty close race. I know when you look at delegate counts as of today, I think it's 80 to 30. I think Marco and Ted Cruz are tied at 30 delegates
right now. So I think that's probably one of the things that confuses people a lot is the total votes versus the delegates. How do you win delegates?
Yeah.
And not necessarily like, let's say Rand Paul, because he's going to stay on the ballot, he wins Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, conceivably, that's probably not going to happen. But let's say it did. Then who gets his delegates? Like, how does that work?
He can pledge his delegates. It's my understanding he can pledge his delegates at the convention. It's in Kentucky, it's not winner takes all.
Right.
So if he wins, he's not going to win all the delegates. He's going to win his proportion of the delegates. And you are awarded delegates in Kentucky once you've hit that 5% mark, and then they, will proportion the delegates after that.
So there's probably some bargaining that's going on behind the scenes a little bit.
Right. There might be, but I mean, personally, I think that when people go to vote, they're going to be wanting their own voices heard.
Sure.
That's my personal perspective. I mean, I respect our U.S. Senator, but I want my voice to be heard. I understand there's bargaining, but, I want to choose who I want to be president.
Transparency.
Right, transparency. I think that's basically it. But if people would rather delegate, I guess that's it. They're giving a proxy to their senator. If you would rather give a proxy to Rand Paul to vote your delegates, I guess you have the right to do that.
So 111 of 120 counties have decided that they're going to caucus. Most of these caucuses are going to happen in one location.
Right.
So if you're in Campbell County, you go to one place.
You're going to one place, and that is far southern Campbell County, unfortunately.
So what it was obviously it was going to be held in Wilder. Why the change from Wilder to Campbell County?
Yeah, basically, Campbell County has a pretty large Republican electorate, as everyone knows, comparably to other counties in the state. And so the state party had put out these guidelines about what the caucus location had to provide. And I know one of them was 200 parking spaces, and the Wilder City Building just didn't have that.
Yeah.
And so they had to find a location that complied with the guidelines. And while, I mean, maybe given, the location and I guess, the fact that Rand Paul is no longer in the race, we might not have as much of a turnout as we would like. I mean, we're still hoping for a turnout. Please, everyone, come and vote. I think this is cool. You want to be part of the first caucus, but
first and maybe only.
The first and maybe only. And if you're sitting at home and you miss the opportunity, you're never going to get it again, possibly. So,
and plus talk about like who's going to volunteer. Like it's an opportunity as a voter to come and like interact with some of the county
elected officials.
Like, exactly. So who are some of the people that are going?
So all of our commissioners have signed up to volunteer. Judge Executive Steve Pendry was coming. He's no longer available to come, but Senator Will Schroeder will be there, and Representative Joe Fisher will be there. This is a time that, have you ever wanted to bring something up to your senator or your representative? Well, they're going to be there, so.
And we're right in the middle of the General Assembly.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great time to talk to them about what's going on in Frankfort right now.
Yes. I mean, a lot of times they'll ask you, contact your state senator or your state house representative person. And when you do that, a lot of times you'll talk to their secretaries.
Yeah.
And
then their interns.
Or their interns. And, right. And they'll write the little green notes and then they'll go and review. But you can just expedite that process.
Yeah.
Going to vote at the same time seems like a win-win.
Yeah, I think it is a win-win. And it's a win for our party, really. It's a time for us all to come together and to meet who's in charge and to let your voices be heard in that way. I think there's going to be some other booths available. Mark, you know that I'm the past president of the Northern Kentucky Young Republicans.
Do you want to give them a plug right now?
Yeah, I would love to give them a plug. Go ahead. Yeah, well, we're a group of young Republicans of Northern Kentucky. Wow. What a great name describing who we are. But mostly Boone, Campbell, and Kenton counties. But we have some great people that come up from Pendleton County, from Grant County as well. But 18 to 40-year-old Republicans, we have meetings once a month on the third Thursday.
I just talked to Justin Vanderglass is the president today. Yeah. So I just talked to him today, and he said that you can actually, if you want to join the Young Republicans, can you pay online to do that?
Yeah, we have a website, nkyr.org.
Nkyr.org.
Yes, and you can go on there and find out more information, pay, donate money.
So what are the kinds of things that you guys do as an organization?
Well, for starters, the reason why we started this organization is just to engage, educate, network with other young Republicans. And so what we do, when I say we meet once a month, well, it's not really a meeting per se. Mark, you've been there before. You've seen it. It's more of a happy hour with an interesting speaker.
Sure.
And so our last speaker just happened to be Brad Clapp, who is in charge of the caucus. And so we were able to hear from him, hear about how the caucus was going to operate, and ask him questions. So that was a great opportunity for young Republicans to really get firsthand source of information about the caucus. But we've had, speaking of Senator Rand Paul, we've had a sit-down roundtable with him. Right before the general election with Senator Mitch McConnell, he wanted to meet with us, which was pretty cool. So, you know, we mostly get together and we network and we have speakers, elected officials come and speak to us. When it comes to election season, we try to get involved. We do a lot of door-to-door.
Grassroots stuff.
And it's a good opportunity to learn about how campaigns function and actually to get to know your community. I've knocked on a lot of doors in Fort Thomas. I know maybe some visitors are like, that's who that was. I'll be coming to see you soon.
Sarah Cameron, the blonde that always comes around in November and October.
Well, in October, but in this past May, you probably saw me as the crazy six-month pregnant lady who was going door to door.
Well, didn't I put a picture of you in, in the living when you were
let's see
were you 8 months pregnant at that time?
I think that was July 4th, and I was due July 30th.
Okay,
so I was very pregnant.
You were in the home stretch.
I was in the home stretch,
but you were rocking the American flag.
Well, you know, I just love 4th of July is my favorite holiday. I know that's probably a shocker to you, but I just could not sit out a 4th of July parade.
Let me take you off of the caucus train for a minute and get your thoughts on this. So, I don't know if you read this or not on FortThomasMatters.com, FORT, but did you see that the Independence Day parade this year is going to be on a Saturday, which is July 7th? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, personally, I think it's just not going to be the same. I see the benefits. I understand why, but it's the 4th of July, and it's the 4th of July parade.
So, I think, I mean, like, I think most people, obviously everybody gets 4th of July off anyway.
Right.
So that's going to be on a Monday. It's just one of those kind of quirky things. And I think people are probably in agreement with you. They're like, the majority are like, it's cool. It's on a Saturday. You get the next day off.
Yeah, but you set a precedent, I guess. You know, you can always expect for the, you know, years to come, when's the parade? It's going to be on the 4th of July. You know, now there's kind of like, is it now always going to be on the Saturday before the 4th of July? I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to decide, should I say this or not? And I would probably not write this anywhere, but we're doing a podcast, and I feel like the people that listen to the podcast, like, get what I'm about and get what Fort Thomas Matters. Right. So I'm going to break a little news for you right now.
Break some news, please.
The reason that they're doing that on a Saturday is because there was a big time person that was going to come into Fort Thomas to like do a a large concert that day.
Wow.
And it still might happen.
Oh, well, I hope it does, because of the way you're talking, it would seem to be really awesome.
It's part of like a national sponsored big corporation like tour of concerts that just so happens to be passing through Fort Thomas, wow, Kentucky on July the 2nd.
Ah.
I'll leave a little hint. It's a country act.
Okay.
But it's on the
same. That narrows it a lot. Thanks.
Well, it's a female country act.
Ooh.
And it's on the same par with who we have gotten for like Merchants and Music.
Okay.
Maybe even a little bigger. And I'm just going to leave it at that and just say.
Wow. And leave us all wondering.
Well, yeah, and this is part of the reason that you should listen to the podcast.
I know, you get these secrets.
You get these secrets and these scoops that I would never actually write about because,
right. Okay, you know. Well, now we know.
So now that you have that information,
that information, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And I think that everyone in Fort Thomas will enjoy it. So.
I think so, too. And I'll tell you this, too. Did you know, and not many people know this, the 4th of July parade is it's sponsored by Campbell County YMCA.
Oh,
did you
yeah.
know that?
I think I did. I think I knew that because the race beforehand is sponsored by the YMCA as well.
I ran that one time. I hate running. I'm terrible at running. Yeah. And I ran it one time and I didn't enjoy the rest of my 4th of July.
Really?
Yeah.
I think you need to run more often, Mark.
Well,
besides the
Yeah, place. Obviously I do. And if you are working out, here's a quick plug for some of my advertisers. So we're going to go real fast.
Okay.
Campbell County YMCA.
Yeah.
Fit Philosophy. Orange Theory Fitness. CrossFit Soto. Who else? Next Level Academy. Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's it.
Yeah. So all your readers should be in great shape.
Yeah. So caucus, let's get back on track.
Let's get back on track now.
Give me some caucus do's and don'ts.
Okay. Well, let's see. The do's is when you're going to the caucus, fill your car with as many Republicans as possible. Because, you know, this is their one opportunity to...
You have to be a registered Republican.
Well, obviously, Mark. Yes. You need to be a registered Republican in Campbell County to vote at the Campbell County Republican Caucus. So, I guess registered, you have to be 18 to vote. I think there is maybe that exception that if you're going to be 18 in the general election, that you can... you can be 17, I think, but you would have had to have registered by December 31st.
Right.
So you know by now if you're registered or not.
What about absentee? Are we too late for that?
Well, you are supposed to, by July 19th, apply for an absentee ballot with the state. So if you haven't applied, yes, you're too late.
Okay. What are some other do's?
Do bring your ID. Bring identification. Do get there in between the hours of 10 and 4. And do come with a smile on your face because I want to see it.
Well, they talked about the volunteers in the volunteer video for YouTube. I think mentioned the fact that the volunteers should present a smile.
They should, yeah. Why wouldn't we? Because we're at our first Republican caucus.
We're demonstrating democracy.
Yeah.
In person, live event. What are some don'ts?
And you know, I wonder if you don't know how this is going to play out. If it's a real close race, we might have media coverage. Maybe even the candidates themselves might appear. That's not out of the question. If this is a really close race and it's our votes, you know, really going to matter, as it very well could, we might have media coverage and we might have candidates that are actually there themselves. So that would be really exciting.
All right, Sarah Cameron, you've got 10 seconds. I'm a voter. I'm a Republican voter. Give me your 10-second elevator pitch. What do I need to know about the caucus?
Okay, well, most importantly, you need to know that it is happening. And it is happening March 5th from the hours of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And for Campbell County Republicans, it's going to be at the Campbell County High School. Invite your friends and family. Come on down to the caucus, and we will hope to see you there.
All right, Sarah Cameron, volunteer extraordinaire for
Yay.
Past president of the Northern Kentucky
right.
Young Republicans and volunteer for the Campbell County Caucus, thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Had a great time.
Next on the show on Fort Thomas Matters Radio, we're going to talk to Patrick Crowley, a partner at Strategic Advisors in Covington, Kentucky, about the political climate that we find ourselves in right now. So Super Tuesday is tomorrow. There are a bunch of delegates up for grabs in both the Republican and Democratic primaries. Pat's an expert in the field in this regard. He's worked at a newspaper, magazine, television, basically for 30 years with the Inquirer, but covered Kentucky and Frankfort bureaus. And in 2007, he was the Kentucky Press Association named him as the state's top columnist. He's also worked for the Cincinnati Post, the Cincinnati Business Record, Maysville Ledger, Register Newspapers of Southern Indiana, and he's covered 20 regular and special sessions of the Kentucky General Assembly. So needless to say, Pat's going to be able to give us some insight about what's going to happen in this primary and into November. But first, I want to take a quick break with our sponsor today is Omega Processing Solutions. When's the last time that you heard somebody say that they were excited about their credit card processing service? Probably not a lot. Well, at Fort Thomas-based Omega Processing Solutions, they hear it all the time. Here's Elaine. She works at All Women PLLC. That's a local physician practice. She said, "I've worked with Dan and Julianne, and they've been super in helping me meet our needs. And in fact, everyone that I've worked with, especially the customer service staff, has been very knowledgeable and always willing to help. And by the way, guys, their customer service staff, they're open 24/7. If you're not receiving this kind of service from your credit card processing company, give Omega Processing Solutions a call, 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724, extension 7, or you can visit their website at omegap.com. Up next, we've got Pat Crowley with a partner with Strategic Advisors. So we have Pat Crowley on Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Again, Pat is a partner with Strategic Advisors. Pat has an extensive career in journalism. Right now, he is, at Strategic Advisors. They just moved offices to Covington, Kentucky. So, Pat, how are you today?
I'm great, Mark. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. So I gave you a little introduction, tried to do a little bit of justice to your 27 years at the newspaper, magazine, television, basically everything that I'm trying to do for Thomas Matters, you've already done, and you're on to Act Two.
Well, I was honored to ask, because you are getting it done in Fort Thomas Matters. Everybody in town reads it, and it's starting to get some reach outside of the city, so you've done a great job, Mark, and it's just, this is the time that I've been in the journalism business for 6 years, and it was a great career, but I got to admit, I've been missing it lately because this is just such a tremendous, bizarre, fantastic year to be covering and following politics. I mean, it really is volatile. You don't know what's going to happen. Every day there's new developments. It's been fascinating.
It's crazy. I get so hyper-local covering Fort Thomas and Northern Kentucky that I feel like when I get outside of Northern Kentucky and I start to cover the state politics, I get an itching. It's just a fun thing to do, and I haven't gotten a chance to talk about political national stuff. So, you know, with the Kentucky caucus, that's why we're doing this podcast today. We want to talk about. We had Sarah Cameron on in the first part of the podcast where she's kind of helping, you know, the Campbell County component of that caucus system in Kentucky, which we've never had before. But it's been fun because we get to talk about these big caricatures. We've got Donald Trump, we've got Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and I think more than anybody, you're going to be able to you've honed this keen and deep knowledge of this political system, the inner workings of government and business all together. I think that you're going to be able to shed some light on that. So with that all in mind, I guess give me your thoughts on the over political culture, you know, where we are right now with politics.
Well, you know, like you said, Mark. Over 30 years in a career and just grown up around politics my entire life, I don't ever remember a year like this. The reason you have Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, I believe, are people are clearly tired of what they've been seeing in government and politics, and they want something different. Now, do they want these two people? We'll find out. We'll see. My guess is that people are just starting to realize they can, you know, there can be something different out there if they pay attention, if they organize, if they stay on top of the issues. And are Trump and Sanders the answer? Who knows? It could be Trump. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he at least survives into the convention and eventually gets the nomination. I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Bernie Sanders because of his background. And as you get into some of the more diverse states, I mean, you saw what Hillary Clinton did in South Carolina. My God, a 50-point victory. Mm-hmm. But he has brought a lot of young people to the table. He has pushed Hillary a little more to the left. Not too far, but enough where she has to address some of those issues. So I think overall it's great. You mentioned the caucus. I do think this caucus absolutely backfired. And it's a shame for the Republicans in Northern Kentucky because, Mark, as you know, the primary has always been very late in Kentucky. It's not until late May.
Right.
So by the time Kentucky Democrats and Republicans voted in primaries, the races were decided. This year, they would actually have an opportunity to vote and have an impact. But this caucus is just going to disenfranchise people. They don't know where to go. I think there's one place in Campbell County, that's Campbell County High School.
Yep.
It's going to be difficult to get people out. And this was all designed for Rand Paul, and he's out of the race now. So it's a little shame, but I think people are still, I mean, everywhere you go, people are talking about it. It's really a fascinating time.
Well, we've got, let's see, Ben Carson is in Lexington right now today. Marco Rubio will be in Lexington on Friday. Donald Trump will be in Louisville on Wednesday. So, I mean, you know, there is some, I guess, some panache that this caucus has brought, maybe. I don't know if they would have come anyway.
Yeah, it has. It's just it's brought some attention, and it'll be interesting to see who wins it, as always.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be people, I mean, they don't even know how a caucus works. I had to read up on them. It's just not something that we're used to around here. So I think turnout is going to be really low. And the Courier Journal had a story over the weekend where a lot of a lot of Republicans thought the state party was going to spend money to do it, but they're holding their money back to campaign for candidates. We also have 4 state house seats in special elections coming up on March 8th, and none of those are in Northern Kentucky. But so the state party has not done a lot to promote the caucuses. You will have 3 candidates in the next couple of days, and that'll bring some attention to it.
Well, let me read 3 national headlines as Super Tuesday kind of looms for us. First one's from CNN. I'm going to read all 3, and then I guess I just want to, you know, take the conversation in whatever direction you want to take it after you hear these. So first one's from CNN, says Trump, Clinton dominant as Super Tuesday looms. Another one from NPR, how Bernie Sanders could win Super Tuesday, ... ellipses, or lose really badly. And number 3 is, of course, it doesn't really have too much to do with specific candidates. It's from USA Today. It says, investors hope Super Tuesday provides election clarity. So take it from there. What do you garner from those 3 headlines?
I love the second headline. Bernie could win or he could lose. That's plain and pretty safe.
That's either or. Yeah, that's going to happen.
I think you're going to get some clarity after Tuesday. I think it'll be more on the Democratic side. I think even if Trump has a big day, which it looks like he could, I think Rubio and Cruz and even Kasich, at least until Ohio votes on March 15th, they'd be nuts to drop out because Trump could implode at any minute. He stepped in it over the weekend a little bit over the Duke and the Klan. He has a tendency, which is part of what people like about him, that he's refreshing and he'll say whatever's on his mind. But at some point, that can hurt you. And, you know, there could be, we literally could be seeing a brokered convention where you go into Cleveland, and I think it's late July, early August, and Trump might have the most delegates. But under most state rules, delegates are only committed on the first ballot. So that thing could get wide open. And I think Rubio for sure stays in. And if Kasich can get the money, he'll stick around too. Now, it'll be rough if Trump wins Ohio on March 15th. I don't know if Kasich will stay in. But you'll see, I think the Republicans are going to go all the way to the convention. And, you know, Bernie could have a good day. I think he'll do well in his home state votes. Colorado's up that day, Minnesota, I believe. He could do well in those states and get enough to stick around. But at some point, I think Hillary's going to be able to put some distance between her and herself and Bernie, and it'll be a little more solidified. But the Republicans are going to go a while.
So,
and yeah, everybody's looking for, you know, clarity in this thing. Who thought it would go this far? I mean, Mark, I appreciate everything you told me, everything you said about me, but I said, you know, around Christmas, Trump will never make it. You know, he'll be out of this before you know it. And he's going into Super Tuesday with about 600 delegates on the line, and I think he's going to do very well.
How is that happening? Because as tied into politics as you are and as I try to be, you know, I know some high-profile people that are publicly saying they are supporting Donald Trump, but privately, I don't know anybody that is. You know, there's probably
I do.
Well, how is he doing this? How is he pulling this off?
Look, he's not a politician. He's a celebrity, and that's number one. He doesn't have to play by the rules everybody else plays. I mean, that's obvious. The things he said just over the weekend would knock any other candidate out in any other year. But it doesn't seem to. I think it's starting to get to him a little bit, but he's still not on the map by any stretch. You know, I think people are—they've been angry, they've been, excuse my French, pissed off for a long time, but they haven't felt like there's anybody out there that really manifests that. I think Barack Obama touched some of that when he ran the first time and attracted people who weren't necessarily getting involved in politics. Well, now there's people who have felt disenfranchised and who have felt that there's been no one to turn to. And Trump comes and tells them what they want to hear, and Bernie comes and tells them what they want to hear, and they're just gravitating towards it. You know, I really think even Trump supporters and Bernie supporters that I talk to realize they can't get everything done that they're talking about, maybe even very little, but they just like the fact that someone's talking about these issues, and someone seems to care about the people who aren't in D.C. and who aren't connected to the lobbyists and the government machine. And I just think it's really a reflection. Politics has always been a reflection of what's going on in society. And now with social media and the ability to organize and trade information and find information, it's really taken hold in this election. You know, Barack Obama did an amazing job on it, his first race, on using social media to get the voters. Everybody else is caught up, and you're really seeing the result of that.
Now, do you think, I get that, and I agree with you on, you know, the component where they feel not heard, fed up, however you want to put it. The way that I've seen this kind of play out is, okay, that's good, especially if you're a Republican, you feel like you've not had much control over these last 8 years, and they haven't. But I always thought, you know, this is just a clearing of the system. It's a healthy thing to kind of, you know, say these types of things, but it's a completely different thing to actually get in the voting ballot box area and pull the lever for these people. Do you think that those two things are I always thought they were different, but I guess, you know, people are actually voting for him in this capacity. Do you see this playing out if he gets the nomination? Do you see it being a competitive race, whether it be Trump versus Bernie or Trump versus Hillary?
Well, I mean, you'd have to say it was going to be competitive because anything can happen once you get a head-to-head ballot. You know, it's all about swing states. You know, four, five, six states, and you know, Ohio, Florida, Colorado, Virginia, Nevada. You know, maybe some of the Great Lakes states. Those are all big states with a lot of votes, and for the most part, and. You know, once you get in there, anything can happen. I mean, I gotta think at some point people are gonna step back and look at Donald Trump and think, you know, this is a reality TV show, but it hasn't happened yet. And you know, Rubio is starting to show some signs that he wants to fight back, and that'll be effective because Trump talks tough, but man, he bleeds when you cut him. And Rubio has learned that, and finally has taken the gloves off and is coming after him. Now that's also gonna fire Trump supporters up. I mean, I think it's fascinating. Fascinating to watch.
Do you think Rubio's people got to him and said, this is, we need to change our tactic a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the weekend papers were full of stories about all these, the Republicans have huddled. And you know, they actually sent a lot of people to, including Mitt Romney, to John Kasich. And said, back, you know, get out of the race. You know, you got to take one for the team here because we got to coalesce behind Rubio. And Kasich said, go to hell. I'm not getting out yet. This thing's still wide open. Now, again, you know, in about 2 weeks, we're going to have a lot clearer picture. Like I said before, if Kasich loses Ohio, it's going to be tough for him to stick around. But I think Rubio stays in, even if he loses Florida. I think he sticks around, and you're going to see more and more of the establishment. And, you know, there's still a lot of money on the sidelines. You know, and so far, Trump is still on a bit of a honeymoon. Now, you saw that debate last week where they nicked him up pretty good. He got beat up over the weekend. These tax returns, there's a reason he's not releasing those. Mm-hmm. And the thought is one or all three things. He hides a lot of his money offshore, which is not going to look good. He's not as wealthy as he says, which is absolutely true. The New York Times did a big series about this a couple of years ago. He's not near as wealthy as he says he is. And then also, he doesn't give anything to charity. I mean, things that are going to, you know, should those affect a presidential race? Well, maybe not, but it will. And when those come out, that could be, I don't know if it would be a bombshell, but Rubio realizes he's just going to have to slug it out with him. And, you know, actually, Rubio's been a lot more entertaining lately.
Yeah.
He does have a personality, and he seems a lot more comfortable as an attack dog than he did as a candidate. Now, that says a lot about our politics today.
Yeah, I saw him for the first time.
I think people are definitely in Rubio's ear and said, you got to go after this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I saw him for the first time be, you know, it just seemed like he was so robotic and so calculated before. And yep. It looks like, you know, they've pretty much said, you know, Marco, you've got to get off the sidelines and get into this thing. Or that was going to be my next question for you is, if you lose Florida, I mean, do you think if he loses Florida, he'll still stay in?
I think he stays until the end because anything could happen in this race.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, delegates are only committed in most states on the first ballot. So if he can stay close enough, and there could really be a broker convention, it would be fascinating. People would be watching political conventions again.
So,
because there hasn't been one since the 80s or the 70s. So it would be fun to watch. It would be a whole lot of fun to watch.
So the states participating in Super Tuesday for both Republicans and Democrats, these are the ones that are holding their primaries: Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Massachusetts, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Vermont, Virginia. And then additionally, Republicans and Democrats are both holding caucuses in Colorado and Minnesota. Republicans are holding caucuses in Alaska and Wyoming. So it's going to be a big day, regardless, to your point. I think it's going to clear some things up. Let's talk about specific, you know, ancillary candidates at this point. You mentioned John Kasich, governor from Ohio. Where do you feel like you've seen his campaign kind of evolve? And do you see him actually having a chance at this point?
It'll be tough. You know, he actually is the most reasonably sounding candidate right now on the debate. I'm sure it was a conscious decision that he kept out of the fray and did actually a really nice job. He's impressed a lot of the Republican delegates in the early states and some donors. My guess now, he might be positioning more to be a VP, maybe with Rubio. I know the Democrats have always feared a Rubio-Kasich ticket because of putting Florida and Ohio in play. So he sticks around that for a little while. But I think it's going to be tougher and tougher for him to stay in because at some point people are going to want to either pick Trump or someone else. And right now it looks like that someone else is going to be Rubio. Cruz seems like he's really fallen off of the stage. He did poorly in South Carolina. He's tied with Trump in Texas. He just doesn't seem to. He seems like he's lost some energy and some life to him. I don't see him sticking around that long. Carson might stick around just because he likes the attention. I mean, he's kind of a different kind. He's a different kind of cat. There's no doubt he's a brilliant surgeon. But he hasn't. And it's hard to believe. I mean, back in the fall, this guy was winning the polls. It just shows that at that point, it's such a flavor of the month, which is what Trump looked like at the time.
Sure.
So I think you're going to see it. But, you know, Cruz is also stubborn and hardhead, and nobody in the Senate likes him because he does his own thing. You get to a point, though, where you run out of money, and that's what's going to start to happen. You know, Rubio got a big boost. A super PAC jumped up and is spending $20 million in Florida. But sooner or later, and Kasich was really hurt until New Hampshire. And then after South Carolina, you know, he was on fumes again, but then he got a boost because of these Midwest primaries, some of these Midwest states were voting. But, you know, money is still the oxygen, and when that gets cut off, you know, you die. And I think the sooner or later, I think after Super Tuesday, the donors are going to start to say, where do we put our money?
Let's tie a ribbon on the Republican primary right now. Pat Crowley, strategic advisor's partner, if you had to place a wager on it right now, what do you think happens?
Well, I wouldn't bet much because I haven't been right so far. I got to think that Trump has a pretty good day tomorrow, Tuesday. It goes for a long time. Rubio stays nipping at his heels, waiting for Trump to falter. And it's either going to be one of those two by the time you get to Cleveland, and maybe we see a broker convention between those two. But I think those will be the two that are the last two standing.
Let's move over to the Democrat side. We have Hillary Clinton, which you mentioned had a resounding victory last week in South Carolina. Bernie had really kind of stayed on her heels. Is that a measure of there's just too much to overcome for Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Bernie has, like I said, he's brought a lot of great points up. He's energized the hell out of young people. I mean, it's just amazing that I think he got 80% of the young vote in Nevada, even though Hillary won that caucus. You know, that's a big problem with, there's an enthusiasm gap with the Clintons. And again, Mark, that goes back to your original question, your original premise, that people are tired of the same old, same old. And if there's any same old out there right now, it's the Clintons. She's got do a lot of work with women. She's not getting women like she should. She's doing tremendous with African Americans. She does very well with Latinos. I believe she's going to put a Latino on her ticket. And my guess would be Castro from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to help her. But she's got a lot of work to do with young people and with women. And those are two areas that, of course, Barack Obama did well in, and she did pretty well in.
Why do you think she's not doing as well with women?
You know, I think that, you know, I read all the stuff, but then I talk to women I know in Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati. You know, there's just a trust factor with the Clintons, and that sticks with them. And the email thing looks bad. You know, who knows what's in there? My guess is it's not so much secrets as it is maybe to do with this. With this foundation that they raised money for, which just looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already been a lot of stories and a lot of information out about how they use their positions to raise money for the Clinton Foundation, which does a lot of great work, but it also raises a whole lot of money, can pay a whole lot of people.
Sure.
And there's just some fatigue with it. And you know, Bernie's appealing to some things that are important to women. And one of those things are college debt, because mothers care about their kids graduating with loans and how they're going to pay for college. Young college students worry about that. He's done great saying we're going to get out of these wars. He's done a great job painting Hillary as the Wall Street candidate. And there's a lot of women, suburban women, who feel that the housing crisis was caused by Wall Street. Of course, there's a lot of blame that goes there. And, you know, Hillary's never been a great campaigner. She's a tremendous debater. She's great. When she went up to Congress, what was that, 9-10 hours?
Yeah.
You know, in the New York Times, anybody who says the New York Times is easy on the Clintons doesn't read the New York Times. There's been no paper tougher on the Clintons over the years than the New York Times. But when they endorsed her, they said she's one of the most qualified, if maybe the most qualified person ever to run for president. And she does have an amazing background. But that doesn't play right now. I mean, you mentioned Kentucky earlier. You know, Matt Bevin ran for Senate and got waxed, and then came back and was elected Democrat because of the same thing you're seeing in Kentucky is what you're looking at nationwide. People want something different, and you can't blame the people for that, because there are a lot of problems. Now, do you want to go as far as Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders? Again, who knows, but that's what's going on here. I think that Hillary's going to have to do a lot of work with her base, a whole lot of work, if she does come out of this primary, and I think she will.
What do you think that says? And you've seen this. I mean, you've covered 20 general assemblies. You've been in for a long time. What do you think that says about just the cultural environment that we live in nowadays, where, you know, experience is not everything that would get somebody elected anymore? Sometimes it's just the political climate that we live in.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said I hate term limits because term limits bring in inexperienced people. And a lot of times inexperienced people go to Washington or go to Frankfurt and they don't know what they're doing. So they get there because people are disenfranchised, but then they go down there and don't know what they're doing or go to D.C. and don't know what they're doing, and it disenfranchises people even more. So to me, sometimes I scratch my head about it, but I mean, I just completely get it. And because there's so much media and social media now, people can go to find what they agree with. They can turn it on, turn it off as much as they want. They can get a flood of it. They can get a trickle of it. But they can get all that information. And as much as Trump, the stuff he says just grates on me, and I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's expedient, and as much as Bernie Sanders says that he can never afford and never pay for, they're talking about issues that people care about, and they've tapped the nerve. And I think that's what it is. And now you can tap that nerve. You can get to people. And, you know, Obama has been fighting with Congress like crazy. And if you like Obama, then you're glad with the executive orders. But if you're a Republican, you think he's circumventing Congress. You know, that has been playing out heavy in the last couple of years. And those fights and that anger and, you know, both sides saying their side's wrong. And it's just blowing up, man, right now at a presidential race. And, you know, like I said, everywhere you go, people are talking about it, and that has always been the case. I mean, they're getting record turnouts in some of these primaries, particularly on the Republican side. And I mean, that's a good thing that people care. It really is. They just have to make sure they get the right information. But of course, that's all subjective too. Where, you know, what the right information is, that's up to the voter.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing is where do you find this kind of stuff? And really, what I've kind of found about our culture nowadays is, you know, as much information as that's out there, which you talked about, a lot of times you don't seek the information that would, you know, be down the middle. You seek affirmation. You don't seek information. And
yeah, great point.
There's just so Absolutely. Yeah, there's just so much out there that you're going to be able to find whatever you're going to find. So I find it very I don't go out of my way anymore to post anything that I believe about anymore on the internet, whether it be on our social media channels or on our platform, just because, you know, there's so much out there anymore anyway. It's just noise. It's just noise.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I will say, you know, one thing that I talked to Trump, and I mean, I talked to successful business people that are supporting Donald Trump, and it's not just because he's a business person. It's because they'll say, well, he's saying things that other politicians won't say. Same with Bernie, and they're trying to solve problems. And look, people are frustrated with government because, okay, we know there's a problem with student debt, but no one's doing anything about it, student loan debt. We know there's a problem with these wars, but we still have young men and women over there, and people are still getting killed, and we're still spending trillions of dollars on it. We have a Brent Spence Bridge. I'm going to plug one of our clients that we can't seem to come up with a way to fix. You know, nobody's solving the problems. And can Trump solve them? Can Bernie solve them? Not with what they're proposing right now, but at least, I mean, building a wall, we're going to make Mexico pay for it. That's ridiculous. But to me, it's almost symbolic of he's going to do something to stop immigration. And that's how people are interpreting it right now. I mean, he's saying it literally, but I still think some people are taking it figuratively. Now, there's a lot of them who actually believe it. And, you know, look, you don't have to take it on sheets, you have to vote.
Right.
But they've just tapped this resentment and this undercurrent of concern and even fear about where we're headed as a country. Now, Warren Buffett just wrote his investor letter over the weekend, you know, the world's greatest investor, and he said, things are great in America right now. So sure. We have problems, but the future is bright. So, you know, the politicians, they don't get a whole lot of attention by talking about the good things. They talk about the problems, and that's what you're hearing a lot of right now. So that's another reason we're talking about it.
Well, it's a fun time for me as a journalist more than anything, and I love talking about national issues. I don't get to do it much anymore. Pat, thanks so much for taking the time today. So Strategic Advisors, you can find them at Strategic Advisors. That's ADVISER. It's strategicadvisors LLC.com. They do digital media, public affairs, media and public relations, political campaign consulting, crisis management. You can call them at 859-360-3185. Pat, you want to plug anything else?
No, just thanks a lot for having me on, Mark. You're doing a great job. Keep it up, buddy. Everybody reads it, Fort Thomas, and you're broadening your scope. So congratulations to you.
I appreciate it, Pat. And we'll talk soon, and maybe we'll confer after Super Tuesday and huddle back up.
Yeah, we'll have to go up to Fort Thomas Pizza and have a cold one.
That sounds good. Thanks, Pat.
All right, buddy.
So for Sarah Cameron and Pat Crowley, this is Mark Collier once again with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. You can always subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search Fort Thomas Matters, find the subscribe button, and click it. That's about the easiest way that you can find us. We are also on fortthomasmatters.podbean.com, where all of our archives are always there for you to listen to at your disposal. So again, thanks very much to our sponsor, Omega Processing Solutions, Sarah Cameron and Pat Crowley.